Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Open your Bible to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want to talk about strategies for success for 2020. If you haven't been with us thus far, you can go to our website. You can download all the services free. They're free. They're there for you to help you. But I want to continue with strategies. Because you and I know with every new season, it takes a new skill set. That's powerful. Every new season, it takes a new skill set, and it takes a new strategy. What worked for last year won't work for this year, because this year's different than last year. Come on, somebody. Somebody said insanity is doing the same thing over and 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 over again, and expecting different results. Just doesn't happen. So we want a new strategy, a new skill set, for a new season. Can I have an amen? Y'all on the same page with me today? So I want to talk to you about a success strategy for this year so that you and I can have the year God wants us to have. And here it is. It kind of goes along with today. You say, Pastor, what's today? Well, today is National Quit Day. I know we're celebrating Dr. King, but there's a fitness app called Strava. Some of the guys on staff said, Pastor, I use that fitness app. And they did research, and they found out that most people, that they quit their New Year lies, resolutions, by today. By January the 19th, they quit. So I thought, how appropriate for me to talk about a success strategy for 2020, and here it is, quit complaining. Quit complaining. Now, you and I know that's not easy, and that's not automatic. And it doesn't happen overnight. And I can't do it on my own. There's an epidemic of complaining in the world today like no other day. You know, I've lived a while on the planet, and I see complaining as a problem today greater than any other day of my life. And complainers, people who complain, we work with them, we live with them, we deal with them. We have to be around them, and even ourselves, we have to deal with it, overcoming the temptation to complain. There's a major epidemic of complaining in our world, but you and I are to be different. We're not to be natural. We're not to be average. We're to be supernatural, and we're to be champions for Christ. Amen. We're to be set apart for the Master's use. We're not to be like the crowd. Just because everybody else complains, that doesn't give us the right to complain, because they're not our measuring tool for the potential God has for each and every one of us. So I want to talk to you today about quit complaining. That's a powerful principle, and I believe if we will work on that strategy this year, that this year will be different and better than last year. Somebody said, if we complain, we remain. If we complain, we remain. Let me say it another way. We'll never get to where we want to go. We'll never get to where we want to go if we're complaining where we are. We'll never get to where we want to go. We'll never get to where we want to go if we're complaining where we are today. Somebody said, make lemonade out of your lemons, right? Make milkshake out of your milk. Somebody said that the grass can't be greener on this side of the fence if you'll just start watering it. Come on, somebody. So quit complaining. Can you say that with me? Quit complaining. National Quit Day, so I say let's quit. Now, it's not going to happen overnight or the next hour or 24 hours or the next week. But if you and I can just complain a little less, I think we're on our road to success. Amen. So those who complain, let me give you what psychologists will tell us is three reasons people complain. People who complain, and by the way, someone said that complaining is the voice of a victim. The voice of a victim. Those who complain, that it's a voice of feeling like they're a victim and the world is against them. So here's number one of three things. Those who complain, and complainers complain because, number one, they feel hopeless. They feel hopeless. It's a terrible thing to live without hope, isn't it? I think we've all experienced it. I think we've all gone through it. You might be going through it today where hope is gone. Somebody said if we don't have hope in the future, we have no power to resist and overcome the present. So people who complain, they complain because they feel like their life is hopeless. Hopeless. And if that's you, you're in the right place today, because here's the place where you're going to get hope. We are peddlers of not dope. We are peddlers of hope. Amen. Number two, they tell us that people who complain and those who are complainers, they do it because they feel powerless. They feel powerless. Now take an inventory of your own life when you've complained and I've complained. Isn't it true? We feel like we're in a situation where we can't do anything about it, so we're going to complain. The times in our life where we feel like we're at a dead end and there's nothing in sight, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, we feel hopeless, we tend to complain, feel sorry for ourselves, and take on the mindset of a victim. So complainers complain, number one, because they feel hopeless. Complainers complain because they feel powerless. And number three, complainers complain because they feel useless. Useless. And I just want to speak to those here today and those in the audience online that if you feel useless, I want you to come here and join our volunteer ministry. I want you to join our volunteer team. We call it a dream team because they make the dream of this church come to pass. And if you'll get on our dream team, if you'll join our volunteers, you'll be a part of a movement that's making a difference in the world today. And you'll realize that you're not useless. God don't make junk, somebody said. And that you are God's creation and you are God's workmanship, and you need to see yourself as God sees you. There's no one useless at Church on the Rock. Everyone is needed, appreciated, and wanted at Church on the Rock. So people complain, and complainers complain because, number one, it's when they feel hopeless. Number two, when they feel powerless. And number three, when they feel useless. And let me just go back to the point of powerless. I want you to know, you know, when we feel like our back is against the wall and nothing's going to change and we can't make anything change, I want you to know today, you can change. It's a lie of the devil that tells you you have no options. We always have options. The Bible says we can choose life or death. We can choose blessing or cursing. It's up to us. God has always given us the power of choice. There is something. You are not powerless as long as you have breath, because your decisions determine the direction of your life. Your decisions, when you make a change, then change will happen. Nothing changes until we change. Nothing changes until we change. Can I have a witness in the house today? So we're looking at the success strategy for 2020 is to quit complaining. Now, we're in a world where it's natural. Everybody does it. It just seems like it's the normal thing to do. But again, I want to submit to you as Christians, Christ followers, believers, we're not to be natural. We're to be supernatural. We're not to be like the majority. We're to be unique, set apart from the crowd for the Master's use. We're to be a city and a light. We're to be salt. We're to be influencers. We're to be architects of our environment. Now, let me just tell you, where it all starts is we have to change our conversation. We have to change what we're saying. We have to change our conversation because our conversation creates our culture. Our culture. I don't get it, Pastor. Well, whatever we say over the kitchen table releases a culture in the whole house. Whatever we're saying to our kids, over our kids, about our kids, to our husband, to our wife, about our parents, whatever our conversation is in the kitchen is releasing the culture, atmosphere, environment in the whole household. So if I want to change a culture, if I want to change an environment, if my house is full of strife and contention and ridicule and belittling and defeat and demeaning, it will all change when I change my conversation. Because my conversation determines my culture, and my culture determines the course of my life. Here on our dream team, that's our volunteers. And again, join a winning team. Join a movement that's making a difference. Engage and watch God transform your life. But part of our culture on our dream team is quit complaining. You know, a few years ago, I have the band here on my wrist. We gave our dream teamers a little wristband here. It says, no whining, no complaining, and no excuses. That's our culture at Church on the Rock. Now, people who don't like that don't stay. But people who see the importance of it and it will determine the course of your life do stay, and we're in process together. We're not perfect. We haven't arrived, but we're less complainers than we used to be. So that's a culture. You create a culture through your conversation, and your culture determines the course of your life. And it's just our culture at Church on the Rock. We want to complain less, and we want to be and have God's best. That's our culture at Church on the Rock. I like to watch the show. Pastor, you're going to get to the scripture. I'm going to get there. I like to watch Shark Tank. Anybody ever watch Shark Tank on? I like to watch Shark Tank. And I like to watch a show on TV called Undercover Boss. Oh, man, that's like old candid camera show, you know. Undercover Boss. And Pastor Kim was telling me on Facebook, she was watching this scenario, true story, of these two guys that were up for a promotion and a position change. They were both applying for it. And they were waiting in the break room of the company that they worked for to go in and see the CEO for the interview for promotion. True story. She's telling me this story this week. And so what happened was the CEO of this company was a lady, and she dressed up as a cleaning lady, a janitor lady in disguise. And so she went into the break room to clean it while those two guys that were in there waiting for an interview, they already worked there, but they were applying for a promotion, a salary increase, a pay raise, and a new promotion. True story. She's telling me this. Watched it on Facebook. So she goes in there to clean, and she asks, could one of you come over and help me dump the garbage? And one of the guys said, no way, that's not my job, lady. You do it. Oh, don't you know, he's going to regret that. His complaining, he's not even going to remain. He's going to be looking for a new job. And the other guy said, oh, I'd be glad to. And he came up, true story, Kim's telling me this, came over and helped her dump the garbage. She's mopping the floor and picking up. And a little bit later, she asked, you know, for some help. And again, the one guy who was the major complainer said, you know, that's what you get paid for. We're not going to do that. I don't want to do that. Stop bothering me. Well, long story short, she fired the one guy who was complaining, fired him. And then she promoted the other guy who helped her. Wow. Complaining is destructive. Complaining is obstructive. Complaining, if I'm complaining where I'm at, I'll never get to where I want to go. If I can't rejoice where I'm at, I'll never rejoice where I think I'm going. Amen. Because I'm a carrier of a spirit. All of us are carrying a spirit here today in this room. So with that in mind, let me give you a couple scriptures that show us how important it is to quit complaining. Now, again, it's a process. It's not instant. It's hard. It's difficult. I've tried to stop on my own, and I couldn't. How about you? I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the Word of God. I need people in my life that will help me stay on course. That's one of the cool things about our small groups. You know, you need people in your life that will hold you accountable. Because we'll never change without accountability. Well, they step on my toes. Well, they're your partner. You need people like that in your life. Don't see them as an adversary. See them as a partner helping you with your potential. Boy, I just said a whole lot right there. All right, so let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is a reference to the Exodus when Moses took the people out of Egypt and he was going to take them into the promised land, but they never made it. Do you know why? They were complaining. Weren't they always complaining about the weather, about the travel, about the distance? Weren't they complaining about what they had to eat, what they had to drink? Weren't they complaining all the time about the leadership and saying, Moses, you brought us out here to die. We'd rather be back in Egypt, you know, building those pyramids. They were complaining all the time. And my brother and sister, because they complained, they never entered into God's dream. Because they complain. Now remember, people who are complainers, they complain because they feel hopeless, powerless, and useless. And notice here, it says, we must not complain. Y'all see, it's not an option, my brother and sister. It should be a part of our life. It should be culture in our homes, in our church, in our life. We must not complain, as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the angel of death. Here's what we learn from that. When I complain, I open the door to the destroyer. When I complain that I open the door to the destroyer, that would be the devil, and he would be able then to have access into my health, my home, my marriage, my children, my finances, my future, and my dream. That I'm just opening the door wide open, allowing the destroyer to come in every time I complain. Now, this is not blunt. This is Bible. Am I telling the truth? Okay, three of you are excited about it today. Remember, this is National Quit Day. Amen. So verse 11, all these things happened in the Old Testament to them as examples for others. So this is an example, this is a model that you and I are to learn from on what not to do, what not to do. Because they complained, they opened the door to the destroyer, and they were destroyed and killed off in the desert and fell short of God's future for them. So it says all these things happened to them as examples for others, and they were written down in the Old Testament for a warning for us, for we live at a time when the end is about to come. Wow. Got to make a difference. Time is short. Make every day count. Don't waste today. Don't waste this year. Don't be average. Don't be like the world. Don't blend in. Don't follow the crowd. And so what does the scripture say? Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things. And the last time I looked at all in Webster, it meant, yeah. It means go to work, go to church, go to school. It means whatever we do, carry out the garbage, wash the dishes, mow the yard, whatever we do. Whatever we do. Now, I know this goes against our grain naturally because we live in a world with an epidemic of complaining. We're around it all the time, and we tend to think it's normal. My brother and sister, it is not normal for a Christian to complain. What did Paul and Silas do in prison in the midnight hour about to have their heads chopped off? They were singing praises unto God. What's it called? A witness. A witness. Pastor, I just can't pass out tracts, and I can't knock on doors, and I can't just witness to people, you know, publicly. I'm an introvert, I'm shy, or I fumble my words. You know what? The greatest witness you and I can have is what Zig Ziglar said, be up in a down world. Zig Ziglar wrote a book on how to be positive in a negative world. Just being positive will cause you to stand out and make a difference, and people will recognize and note there's something different about you. It's called a witness. How cool is that? So he said, do all things without, you help me out now, do all things without, wow, and, woo, and, the B-I-B-L-E, is that the book for thee? We stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. So do all things without grumbling and fault. Could this be why maybe the healing hasn't come? The financial breakthrough, the paying off of the credit. Could this be why my husband won't come back? Could this be why I'm always finding fault with my wife, why she doesn't want to have sex? Could this be why my kids don't want to go to church? They've heard me fault find the leadership at church. Could this be? Could this be why? Could this be where I'm shooting myself on my own foot? Why no increase? Why no progress? Why no breakthrough? Why no turnaround? Could it be I'm doing it with my own mouth? I think somebody wrote a book, and I can relate to my life, hung by my tongue. You know, I think of that word fault finding. Do all things without grumbling. Here's what I know, that if you look for a fault, you're going to find it. If you look for a fault when you come to our church, bless God, you're going to find it. If you look for a fault in me and I look for a fault in you, we're going to find it. If you're looking for a fault in your husband or your wife, here's what I know. You will find it, because whatever you're looking for, you'll eventually find it. So he says, do all things without grumbling, fault finding, complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourself. Okay, Pastor, enough is enough. Let's move ahead. Okay. So how do we quit complaining? All right. How do we quit complaining? I want to give you three steps. Now, they're not easy, because it's not easy to stop complaining. Because it's easier to complain than do something about it. It's always easier to complain. Notice they never made a statue to a critic. Run that by one more time. They never made a statue for a complainer. You know, it's always easier to complain and be on the sidelines instead of join the team and be a part of a movement and make a difference with your life. Isn't it easy, you know, to always sit in the stands and complain about the Cardinals, thinking we know more than the... Oh, I'm really hitting St. Louis now. Praise the Lord. Isn't it always easier to stand on the sidelines, say, coulda, woulda, shoulda, than getting and being a part of an answer, a solution, solving the problem? Amen. So let me give you three ways on how to quit complaining. And number one, the guys have it up here, is practice gratitude. I found out I can't complain and be thankful at the same time. So practice gratitude. And here's what we do. Takeaway is every day, try to think of three things, and I know you got more than three. Try to think of three things you are thankful for every day. Practice gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 said, in everything be thankful, for this is the will of God for you. So every day, practice three things that you can be thankful for. Practice gratitude. Some call it gratitude walks. Just practice it. You know, I had an opportunity this week. A friend of mine I was talking to that has been a friend for about 25 years, a good friend, doesn't come to our church, doesn't live in our city, lives a couple hundred miles away. But I knew that he had been having problems physically, and I knew, you know, that he had been dealing with some things in his body and having some trouble. He's 72 years young. And he had this problem. I really didn't know what the problem was, but I knew that he'd had his back operated on twice in the last 2 years. And each time it went south. Both times operations didn't go well on his back. And so he still had the difficulty. In fact, it was worse. And so I saw him this week, and he was walking on a cane, and I said, how are you doing? He goes, not real good. He goes, they can't find out how to solve this problem. They can't figure it out. And as you know, I've had two back operations, and he said, now they think it's my hip causing the problem, so I'm going to see a doctor Monday to schedule a surgery on a hip replacement. And he said, you know, it's so much pain, Dave. He said, it takes 30 minutes just for my body to get still, just to be able to go to sleep at night. And I was thinking about it. I never realized it until he told me that the original cause of all of his problems was a problem that I had a few years ago. The same problem. We're talking about practicing gratitude will help you quit complaining. You know, somebody said, you've heard it, you know, I was complaining because I had no shoes until I saw the man with no feet. Right? So he's telling me, and I'm just listening to him. I never realized it was the same problem that I had a few years ago. Many of you have heard me tell the story. I had some physical problems in my body, and I went to the doctor, and it was a born-again, spirit-filled doctor, a great doctor, gave me x-rays, looked at me, and said, "We can't help you." He said, "You're going to have to live with this the rest of your life." He said, "I can schedule surgery for you, but," he said, "I doubt that will help you." He said, just face it, you'll live with this handicap the rest of your life physically, Dave Blunt. Now, thanks be unto God for doctors and nurses and medicine, amen. And we're thankful and grateful, but there's only so much they can do. And so I had the choice of having surgery when the doctor himself said, "I don't think it will help you. You're going to live with this problem the rest of your life. It will handicap you and it will shorten your life." Well, thanks be unto God, and all God healed me of that, totally healed me of that. I wouldn't be standing here today if he hadn't. If God wouldn't have healed me, seriously, I would have probably had to resign the church. And God totally healed me. This is several years ago, and I was thinking, as my friend was telling me his problem, that's the same thing that I was dealing with, that God healed me from. And what came up on the inside? Gratitude. Oh, once again, I was thanking God. Now, I didn't say to him, "Well, you know, I prayed God healed me." I wasn't going to say that. But I said, "You know what? I can relate what you're going through." And I said, "You know what? I'm going to believe God. I'm going to pray. We're going to believe God that when you go to the doctor, that God's going to do something, that God's going to bring transformation, that you're not going to have to live with this the rest of your life." Now, what was that? Wow. Gratitude. Now, all of us have more than three things that we could be grateful for this morning. I thank God we got heat. I mean, you know, the other night electricity went off in my house and Daniel's house, and we were, you know, we were out without the heat and the lights for a little while. But when you're without heat and lights in the winter, you begin to thank God for those normal things you take for granted. Wow. I'm just thankful for a Taco Bell. I mean, you know, I've been places in parts of the world where I just wish I could have had a taco from Taco Bell. So you practice gratitude. Number two, the second thing is you practice praising other people. How to quit complaining a little more is you practice. It doesn't come easy. You're going to have to practice because most people don't know how to give a compliment. They're too insecure. And they don't know how to give a compliment. And they wonder why no one ever gives them a compliment. Because you can't reap what you don't. So, oh, I sure do love y'all. And so you practice praising other people. It causes you to focus on what they're doing right. You know, you can't complain if you focus on the positive, if you focus on the good. I think the Bible says think on those things that are good. You know, we're talking about eating clean. I think we need to learn how to think clean. Think clean. Kim and I have been married 47 years this year, and the first 3 and 5 years of our marriage, we fought like cats and dogs. Now, don't look at me like you're so holy. I mean, she's strong-willed. You know she's strong-willed, and I'm strong-willed. But two of us together, oh, my goodness, you got a dog fight, cat fight. So for the first 3, 5 years of our life, I mean, you know what were we doing? Establishing boundaries. What was going to change and what wasn't going to change. The first 3, 5 years of our life, what were we doing with each other? Finding fault. "Well, you don't cook like my mom." Ooh. Let me just say to all you young folk, don't say that to your wife. My mom cooked 3 meals a day. Oh, she was and Pastor Kim, she's redeemed from the curse of cooking. Talking about fault finding. My mom, seriously, she's in heaven, but she was a perfectionist. You didn't wear your shoes inside the house. They went off at the door. She had all these knickknacks and all these things, and you couldn't touch them. Just look at them. And you know, everything was perfect. Everything was in sync. There wasn't a picture, you know, crooked on the wall. My mom was just awesome. And you know, my mom spoiled me. I'm serious. I'm in high school. My mom was ironing my whitey tighties. She did. If I'm lying, I'm frying. My mom ironed my underwear. Wow. And I got married. And I remember, we're talking about fault finding now, y'all. And I remember the first morning that we got back from our honeymoon in our little apartment. And I woke up and I looked at her dresser drawers, and there's these objects hanging out of the drawers. And I went into the bathroom and there's stuff hanging over the shower and everything all over the one sink cabinet. And I'm thinking, what happened? Was there a tornado or a hurricane? Or I felt like Jacob when he married Rachel. And now, come on now. We're talking 47 years ago. Give me some slack. And you know what? I found out that it would never work until I stopped finding fault. It would never work for her until she would stop finding fault. How can we quit complaining just a little bit more? We can do it by practicing praising other people. Find them doing something right. Amen, church. So what you want to do is just find one person. Just start with one. Just one every day. Number three, real quick, is practice writing a daily success journal. Practice writing a daily success journal. What will that do, Pastor? I've heard you talk about journaling. It will force you to focus on the positive. It will force us to focus on the positive. Now, let me give you, as the team comes out, five reasons why we need to journal. Because if you journal every day, it's a release. If you journal every day, you'll draw closer to God. If you journal every day, transformation will happen in your life. Jerry Savell taught me years ago, when you journal, he said, it fine-tunes your spirit to listen to God. I found that to be true. So let's look at it, how to journal. Number one, why do we journal? Because you're expressing your experiences and your emotions to God. And how many know that if we don't release our emotions somewhere, we're going to blow up. We're going to spill over. We're going to take it out on our loved ones. So we need to express our daily experiences and our emotions to God in a success journal. You can get rid of all of it with Him. And the scripture is Psalm 62, verse 8. Look at the scripture, family. Trust in, lean on, rely on, have confidence in God at all times. You people, here's the phrase, pour out your heart to God. God already knows what we're feeling. Why don't we just tell Him? It's therapeutic. It's healing. It's a release. It's a let go. Somebody, you know, many of you who are psychologists, psychiatrists, and we have them in our church, you teach your people, your clients, to write down their hurt. And in the writing down of it, it brings healing. And it does. So notice that he said, pour out your heart. So when you and I journal in our success journal, what we're doing is releasing our experiences and our emotions to an almighty God. And he said that he's our refuge, our high tower, and our rock. And keep thinking about that. Number two, why do we have a success journal? We're recording God's faithfulness. We're recording God's faithfulness. How to quit complaining. National Quit Day. We're recording God's faithfulness. Psalm 77, verse 11 and 12. I will earnestly, look family, recall, record, remember. I will earnestly write down. I will earnestly recall the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will earnestly remember. Recall, recall, remember, record, write down. I will remember your wonders, what you have done for me and those before me. Next verse, verse 12. I will meditate also upon your works, and I'll consider all your mighty deeds. Here's what I found out. When you and I meditate on God's faithfulness and God's faithful words that He's given to us, God's faithful prophecies, God's faithful deeds and acts, it only will birth more words, prophecies, and mighty deeds in our life. So how to quit complaining? Number one, what do? We practice gratitude. We think of three things every day we can be thankful for. Number two, what do? We practice praising other people. Just one each day. And then number three, we practice journaling in a success journal. And here's the reason why. Number three, brings out self-awareness. Brings out self-awareness. Lamentations 3:40, let's see what that says. It says, let us test and examine our own ways. Wow. You know what I found out is a lot of people never make it because they're not self-aware. They don't want to be, I don't get it, Pastor, they don't want to be honest that they're the problem. And so when you and I journal, what does it do? It causes you and I to get honest with God, and it causes you and I to locate the patterns, the habits, the conversation. It causes us to look inwardly and examine ourselves daily. Yeah. And then the next one, whatever it is, you are recording a spiritual journey. You're leaving a legacy, a journal. You're leaving a legacy. You're recording a spiritual journey. Look what it says. Psalm 102, verse 18. It says, let this be what? Recorded. What does it say? Let this be what? Recorded for the generation yet unborn. That the people yet to be created, your children and your children's children, will look into your journal, and what will it cause them to do? Praise the Lord. Y'all see it? Created a people yet, a generation not even born, when they read your journals, when they read your records of recording your spiritual journey, your highs and your lows, your wins and your losses, the process of transformation in your life, it will cause them to want that kind of a God. And it'll cause your children and your children's children to grow up in the house of the Lord. And I'm out of time. Did y'all get something today? Come on, let's give God a praise.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.